Hello, this is Ryan from the thing you're currently watching. Please enjoy this pitch meeting for The Fate of the Furious that I made a couple of years ago, and then stick around after because I'm going to talk about it and stuff. And while you're doing that, I'm going to draw a bald dude in a car. So, you have a new Fast and Furious script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
What's this one gonna be called?
Well, there's really only one title we can go with.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, after The Fast and the Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious, Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6, and Furious 7, there's only one thing that could come after that.
I mean, yeah, of course.
The Fate of the Furious.
The Fate of the Furious, that's what I was gonna say.
It's just logicalistic.
Right.
So anyway, we're gonna start this one off with Dom getting into a street race in Cuba.
Oh, getting back to our street racing roots. Everything's been so crazy recently, it feels like we lost sight of.
And Dom's car is gonna be on fire and he's gonna drive it backwards.
And he's gonna jump out at the last second and it's gonna go flying 50 feet up in the air and land in the ocean.
Oh, wow. Okay, never mind what I was gonna say.
Yeah, it's gonna be nuts.
I bet.
Cars and butts and music. It's gonna be like a Pitbull video exploded.
Sounds exciting.
Oh, yes, sir, it will be.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, one day Dom goes out because he needs to buy some bread and a flower. And he's gonna come across a lady named Cypher whose car isn't working.
Okay.
And then she's gonna reveal that she actually put a lot of work into him walking in that specific location.
What do you mean?
Well, she arranged to have his normal coffee shop closed, so he had to cross two blocks and walk past her.
Is she gonna kidnap him or something?
No, she's gonna show him something on a tablet and leave.
Why doesn't she do that then, instead of doing the whole coffee shop redirect crap?
Because it's dramatic.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, the thing she shows him on the tablet is really bad, and she says he's gonna have to go against the one thing that matters most to him in the world.
Oh, what's that?
His family.
Oh, does Dom care about family a lot?
Yeah, that's like all he talks about.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
Like every second sentence out of his mouth is about how much family means to him.
I'll be honest, I haven't understood much of anything Vin Diesel said since 2010.
He does grumble and mumble quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, later Dom and the crew are gonna be out on a mission, right?
They go on missions?
Yeah, they're all secret agents now or something.
Gotcha.
And they're gonna kill a bunch of cops with a wrecking ball.
Oh, that's so dark.
No, it's gonna be really funny. The wrecking ball has a smiley face on it.
Oh, okay, that is funny. The deaths are funny now.
And so they're gonna steal an EMP, but then Dom is gonna double cross everyone and take off with it.
Uh-oh.
And Hobbs is gonna get arrested and for some reason go to the same jail as Deckard Shaw, and they're gonna have to break out somehow.
Oh, is that gonna be hard to do?
No, super easy. Barely an inconvenience, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because now Hobbs and Shaw are, you know, superhuman.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, I gave them superhuman strength and invincibility. I thought that might be fun.
That does sound fun.
So anyway, we're gonna find out that Cypher kidnapped Elena.
Oh, when did she join the franchise again?
Literally no one knows.
Gotcha.
And we're gonna reveal that she had Dom's baby.
So that means when she was thrown out of a window in the last movie, she was pregnant?
Yeah, I guess so.
And that didn't affect the pregnancy in any way.
Not one bit.
Huh, what a strong female character.
So she's gonna die.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and Dom's not gonna be happy about it.
No, I guess not.
So anyway, Cypher's gonna send him on some little missions where he has to do evil stuff, and he's gonna set up a secret meeting with Shaw's mom.
How does he manage that?
Well, the Cuban dude he raced at the beginning helps him out.
How did he get in touch with him?
I don't know.
And if he's reaching out to people to help him, why not reach out to the crew?
I don't know.
Huh.
He and Shaw are also gonna fake Shaw's death.
How did they coordinate that?
I don't know.
Okay, but also, why did they coordinate that?
Well, later Shaw is gonna go save Dom's baby on Cypher's plane.
Cypher's plane?
Yeah, she lives up in the sky on a plane that never lands.
So how does Shaw know how to get to the plane?
Dom had a secret tracking device on his necklace.
Okay, so somehow Dom is able to secretly communicate with the outside world and share the location of the plane he's on.
That's right.
But instead of reaching out to his friends to save him, he reaches out to Shaw, who's a bad guy who killed his friend in a previous movie.
Exactly.
Why doesn't he reach out to the crew again?
They think he's evil now.
Right, but
listen, I typed this script up last night after a lot of whiskey, so let's not delve too deep into it.
Oh, fair enough. Whiskey is tight.
Oh, yeah. Also, Deckard Shaw is gonna break his brother out of a black site prison to help him save Dom's baby.
How does he do that?
I don't know.
Whiskey, gotcha.
So, yeah, then Cypher is gonna send Dom to EMP a submarine on a Russian base.
Where's the EMP?
In Dom's car.
If the EMP could take down a submarine's defenses, won't it affect his car?
It will not.
Interesting.
And then Cypher and Ramsey are gonna have a scene where they,
use computers against each other.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
No, sorry, it won't be.
Oh, that's okay.
So then Cypher's gonna hijack a submarine with nukes on it, and the whole crew's gonna have a gunfight slash car chase on ice.
What's that gonna be like?
Let's just say I made my high school physics teacher read a draft of the scene, and he threw up.
Wow.
And then Dom's gonna jump over an exploding submarine and dive out of his car just before it explodes.
Lots of explosions. Is he gonna be okay?
Yeah, his friends are gonna create a shield in front of him with their cars.
Would that actually work?
I'm not sure. My physics teacher actually filed a restraining order against me after reading that scene, so I didn't get a clear answer.
Oh, well, it's probably fine.
Maybe.
So how does the movie end?
Well, the whole family's gonna have a nice barbecue together, and it's gonna be a real happy ending for everyone.
Except Elena, I guess.
Right, I forgot about her.
I'm sure most people will.
Also, Shaw's gonna be at the barbecue.
Oh, so they forgave him for killing Han and being a horrible person?
They did.
Sounds like he's part of the family now.
Yeah, I guess he is. So what do you think of the movie?
Well, I guess my main concern is that it sounds too big, like I don't know how we're gonna one-up ourselves after this.
Nah, I'll pop open a bottle of whiskey and think of something.
Look how happy he is. He's so happy to be in his car. You know, this makes me want a Fast and Furious Mario Kart style game where they would have big bobbleheads. You'd be able to pick up nitrous boosts and bottles of Corona. There'd be crazy jumps. And if you win the race, you're the leader of the family. I would play that. It sells itself. So this pitch meeting is a great reminder for me. Hey! Don't shave your beard that much. Nothing good can come from it. Just don't do it. I also had a phase of experimenting with other brown suit jackets for some reason. I don't know what that was. The challenge of Fast and Furious pitch meetings is that these are movies that are deeply made fun of already. So there's an expectation to make fun of those things that everyone's making fun of because that, you know, that's what kind of what people want to hear. But then you can't repeat, so you got to put a little spin on it. Like in this one, producer guy never realized that family was a thing, even though that's like the main thing. It's not a huge spin that I put on it, but it's a little whoop. The physics of the stunts not making any sense is a big part of what draws people to these movies now. So it's like, everyone's already in on that joke. But luckily, these movies, everything in between is even more ridiculous than the physics stuff. Like, I absolutely love the fact that he just went to the store for a baguette and a flower. I think that's fantastic. It gives you the smallest glimpse into the life of Dominic Toretto that we don't see on camera, and it's hilarious. Like, he woke up that morning next to Letty and he grumbled at her, like, I'm gonna go get that baguette. And then at the store, he saw a flower for sale and he's like,
Letty would love this.
I love it. I love it so much. And that entire scene where Cypher surprises him on the street that's what I love about these movies. If you think about the scenes even for a second, it's so funny. The implications of her doing all that just to surprise him on the street. Everything she went through just to show him an iPad is so funny. That means she was in her sky thing looking at her satellites or with binoculars or whatever, and she saw him go into a coffee shop and she was like, ah, I'm gonna check in tomorrow to see if he goes again. And then the next day he went again and she's like, this is his normal coffee shop. This is his daily routine. I can use this information to surprise him with the iPad I want to show him. So then she went through a couple of plans. You know, maybe the first draft was, I'll get a job at the coffee shop. And then after he pays for his coffee and I spin the thing around for the tip, that's when it's actually my iPad. And then she's like, no, that's not good. That's not good. I'm gonna arrange to have this coffee shop shut down for the day so he has to go a different way. And then I'm gonna act like I've got car trouble. And he's a good guy. And he knows cars, so he'll help me out. It's just, it could have been an email. I love it so much. And then the whole movie, Dom is somehow getting messages out to everybody except for his crew. And it's like, hey, tell them that why are you talking to, if you can talk to people, talk to the people that need to know this. But he's like, I'm gonna arrange a secret meeting with Helen Mirren. She'll be able to help, the mother of two horrible guys. The danger of all this and the fact that they are leaning into the crazy physics is that if they become too in on the joke, it could lose some of its charm. We saw a little bit of this with Fast and Furious 9, whatever that was called. It's like when you see Tommy Wiseau put out a new project that's intentionally bad, and it's like, no, The Room was funny because it was unintentionally bad. That being said, as of this recording, I haven't seen the new Fast and Furious. I'm very excited. I can't wait to see what kind of bread he buys next. Question time. You're someone who asks, why do you barely do any animated movie pitch meetings? I would really like to see more of those. And then someone is like, this is going to be picked for the answer and questions section. Yep, yeah, that's right. And another person chimes in, I imagine it's not unrelated to the fact that a decent chunk of animated movies are comedies. That, I don't even need to be here. That covers it all, pretty much. A lot of animated movies are comedies. For example, a pitch meeting for Shrek would be very difficult because Shrek is already a parody of fairy tales. If you parody parody and you parody comedy, you end up with, like, this movie, and I never want that. Hey, Ryan, a question for you is, do you think you've maxed out on all the jokes for producer guy and pitch meeting guy? Like, do you think there are still more one-liners to come? Absolutely, I can't tell you what they are yet. Not because it's a secret, but because I don't know. They just kind of happen organically. They happen also, quite frankly, when in the comments section, people repeat them a lot. That's a sign for me that, oh, this phrase really worked well. Maybe I'll bring that back. So in a sense, you're in charge of the catchphrases. You tell me what's coming up next. Hey, shut up is the most recent one, and that it's because the comments really, really liked it. Maybe I've missed this in the backlog of videos, but have you ever considered doing a pitch meeting for a game where the game programmer or lead story writer, either one, pitch a new game idea to an exec? I feel like there are some gems in there. This is a question I get a lot. Will you ever do video game pitch meetings? And the short answer is no. The long answer is no. Probably not, honestly. I'm not a huge gamer. And also, as I've kind of explained in other revisited videos, TV shows take me a long time because a movie's 2 hours, I could watch that quickly. A TV show is usually at least 8 hours, so that takes a long time to watch and analyze. Video games are so long to get, if I actually want to go through the entire video game, and I honestly don't have the time, nor do I have the passion for video games I did when I was younger. So I would be basing these pitch meetings off of other people's notes or interpretations of the game, and it's just not, I won't say definitely not, but most probably not. That being said, if they make this game, I will absolutely do a pitch meeting for it. Please make this game. Thanks for watching. Please leave me some more questions down below. I love you guys. Bye.